Hello, and welcome to Inside the Virtual Village, where I, Dr. Kelly Austin, help higher educators who teach online create dynamic learning communities within their courses. I am honored that you are joining me today for my topic, 5 Key Traits You Need to Thrive as a Higher Educator. The Cambridge Dictionary defines a trait as a particular characteristic that can produce a particular type of behavior. As faculty, I realize that you may have a threefold responsibility of conducting research, committing to service within and without the university, and teaching. However, for the purpose of today's post, I am only focusing on the teaching aspect of what you do and the traits that impact your effectiveness in that space. Now, I want this audio blog to be interactive, so go ahead and grab 2 sheets of paper. We are going to use the first one to identify the key traits and the second one to create an action plan based on what we learn. Now, create 5 columns on your paper to represent each attribute that I will discuss. The first trait is passionate. Yes, passion is defined as a strong liking or desire for or devotion to some activity, object, or concept. As a higher educator, you must be passionate about what you're teaching. This passion will fuel your energy in the classroom and make your teaching more effective. In fact, without passion, you may find that these other traits become suppressed. Your passion impacts whether or not you will investigate ways to make the learning experience meaningful for your students. It certainly impacts the tone and style of your communication. And believe it or not, it can also impact your perspective on your students' abilities, needs, and concerns. In other words, you affect the vibe of your classroom tremendously. Your enthusiasm has the power to influence students who may not even enjoy the subject that you're teaching in a positive way. Now, I know that there may be courses you were summoned to teach that you do not enjoy, but it is critically important that your course design and delivery do not reveal that to your students. Come on, imagine what it's like being in the presence, virtually or otherwise, of someone who does not want to be where you are, and then multiply that by 5 weeks, 8 weeks, or even 16 weeks. That would be pure torture for that person and for you. So please make sure that you have to find a way to be passionate or enthusiastic about what you're teaching. Now, I have some strategies that might help you if you struggle with this, but I'll have to save that for another post. Let's get to trait number 2, harmonious. Yes, as a higher educator, you must be harmonious. Harmonious is defined as friendly, peaceful, working well together. You see, when you are harmonious, you set yourself up to build rapport with your students. Rapport is really not about your relationship with your students as a whole, but get this, it is about how you connect with students one-on-one. It involves developing mutual trust, attentiveness, and respect. Building rapport must be intentional and strategic. It is not haphazard. Your harmonious nature comes across in whether you know more than your students' names, but you seek to understand their backgrounds and cultural experiences. It's evident how you create a welcoming and inclusive environment that encourages your students to learn, grow, and feel supported. Do your students feel like this is your classroom, or is it our learning community? Is it a virtual village where they feel comfortable communicating, collaborating, and co-creating? Even if that village is filled to capacity, do your students feel like you see them as individuals and that you desire to build a relationship with them and that you care about them so that they also feel compelled to care about you? Trait number three, as a higher educator, you must be adaptable. Adaptable means capable of being or becoming adapted. Let's break that down a little more. To adapt means to make fit as for a new use, often by modification. To modify means to make basic or fundamental changes, or to give a new orientation to, or to serve a new end. Hear all those news? Okay, so as a higher educator teaching in this 21st century, you must be adaptable. This means that you are willing to make basic or fundamental changes in your teaching methods to suit the diverse learning modalities or needs of your students, which is going to require you to have a keen understanding of their cultural, social, and linguistic diversity. For example, in designing and assessing courses and curricula, Dr. Robert M. Diamond explains that the lecture is the principal method of instruction in higher education, and it's used about 80% of the time. However, lectures focus primarily on low-level factual materials, with about 90% of all questions based on recall. About 30% of questions asked during a lecture result in no participation from students. Listen to this. The students who benefit most from the lecture are those with stronger academic profiles and those from families of higher socioeconomic status. So think about this and think about how it applies to your demographic of students. No matter the socioeconomic level of students, through the lecture, they do not experience the challenge of using their higher order thinking skills on a regular basis. Instead, they are using those lower level thinking skills such as knowledge and comprehension as they sit there and soak up information like a sponge. Diamond shares that active learning is more effective than passive listening and note taking. You know how we love to take notes in college. I'm having flashbacks. Now, before I go any further, let me pause to ask you a question. Did you know that the word lecturer literally means one that reads? In short, since around the 12th century, the lecturer was viewed as the source of knowledge. But in this 21st century, our instructional design must not be limited to that method, because that method does not serve our students best. Instead, we must include multiple methods that align with the way that our students learn. So before I get on a soapbox about that, let me go to trait number four. Trait number four is technological savvy. You must possess technological savvy. Technological savvy means practical knowledge and ability as it relates to technology. As a higher educator, you must be able to leverage technology effectively to enhance teaching and learning. Whether it's using online platforms to design instruction, that would be your learning management system. It includes incorporating apps to increase engagement, or using online schedulers to hold virtual office hours, staying up to date with the latest technology tools can help you increase students' interest and success in your course. One thing I want to emphasize here, though, is that the technology you use has to make sense. You should never just seek out apps or software for the sake of looking or being so high tech, because that's really not necessary to learn. Make sure the technology is practical. It's useful. It should make learning easier or more fun, but it does not frustrate students or complicate their learning. If so, let it go. Now, I will go in depth on this trait at some other time, but I do want to give you one tip that you can implement ASAP, and that is including videos in every aspect of your course. Breaking away from everything being solely text-driven, everything's in writing on your course. You have multiple PDFs, you know, everything, the discussion boards are in writing. You know, there's no video on your course or very limited video. I want you to couple that writing with videos because that makes learning easier for your students. And it also benefits you in terms of the loads of questions that you'll get in your inbox, or even if you have live sessions in class, if you're online, or even face-to-face. One of the things that my students always share with me is that I show them through videos and not just tell them. Think about show and tell from back in the day. So I encourage you to make adding videos to your course a priority. You can just start right there when it comes to technology. All right, now we're on to trait number 5. The fifth trait that you must possess is being professional. As a higher educator, you should have a strong sense of professionalism and ethics. You must be committed to maintaining high academic standards, avoiding any unethical practices, and treating your students and colleagues with respect at all times. Modeling this behavior can help build trust and credibility with your students and colleagues. I know that in this day and age, when students, administrators, and colleagues can be self-serving, egocentric, rude, and inconsiderate, being professional can sometimes be challenging. But again, you want to model this behavior and do not let anyone cause you to violate your standards just because they may have lowered theirs. Operate with integrity and seek to exude excellence in everything that you do. In conclusion, thriving as a higher educator requires a passion for teaching and a harmonious demeanor. Embracing innovative teaching strategies, understanding the diverse backgrounds of your students, and being willing to adapt to changing academic landscapes are all keys to thriving in higher ed. With these traits, you can make a difference in the education and future of your students and enjoy the journey while doing so. Okay, now it's time for the second segment of the audio blog. And you'll need that second sheet of paper. So let me give you a second to do that. At the end of each audio blog, I'm going to ask you to create an action plan. Because knowing and not doing is basically not knowing. No, but seriously, once you are made aware of something or you learn a new skill, it's important to act on it within 72 hours or risk not retaining it and not benefiting from it. So on this new sheet of paper, I'm going to ask you to draw 3 columns or 3 lines from top to bottom, dividing that paper into 3 sections, because I'm going to ask you 3 questions that will help you act on what we've discussed here today. Are you ready? Okay, so the first question is, what will you continue doing? Okay. What traits will you continue to possess? Consider the areas in which you excel and are doing well. Jot that down. Celebrate. Those are wins for you. Okay, on to the second question. And you can stop this recording and fill that out. The second question is, what will you strive to do differently? As I discuss these five traits, you might say, well, I really don't possess that trait right now. Or you possess it, but perhaps you're not acting on it. Think about the areas that you need to improve in, or that you're not knowledgeable about or skilled at all. Say, for example, incorporating videos in your course, whether you teach face-to-face or online, and you're saying, well, I really don't know where to get started with that. Okay, write that down. All right, the third question is, who might support you in bringing your plan into fruition? Okay, so if you've decided, okay, there are some things that I'm going to keep doing. There are some things that I need to become more knowledgeable about. There are some things that I know to do that I'm not doing. Do you need support in that area? Do you need an accountability buddy to help you ensure that? Do you need an instructional designer at your university to look over your course to ensure that you're using technology in a responsible way? That could be a step in your plan. Do you need to further your education as it relates to communicating and facilitating instruction online? So do you need to take some courses? Do you need to join an association or maybe a Facebook community of people who share tips and strategies that help you become a better facilitator online? Do you need to work on being more professional? And how can you do that? Right? So write down actual steps that you can take as your action plan for how you can grow in these areas and develop these traits. So we have reached the end of today's audio blog, and I hope that I shared something that blessed you in some way, shape, or form. I would love to read about any golden nuggets you're taking away from this post. So if you feel led, go ahead and share in the comments. You could even post your action plan if it's not too private and you want to share that. Finally, if you would like to keep track of your growth and your action plans on a weekly basis, head over to bit.ly, the Wire Journal. That's bit.ly/ The Wire Journal, where you can order my guided journal. It's called The Professor's Week in Review, a journal for weekly reflections on the higher ed experience. I created it just for you, my fellow higher educators, because I know how powerful reflection and planning can be in making the higher ed faculty experience, whether you're online or offline, more fulfilling. Well, until my next post, I want to thank you for joining me, and I want to encourage you to continue creating dynamic learning communities online. Bye-bye.